Pastor Dan, for choosing songs that go so well with today's theme. We're in John 10 this morning. I would encourage you to take your Bibles and open there to the Gospel of John chapter 10. And as you open, a question for you, how many of you grew up with sheep? Like you had sheep out in the yard. Grew up with sheep? DJ, really? Yeah? Okay. Anybody grow up with a real sheep? Like mom or dad was a shepherd, you had sheep out in the yard. Yeah, that's not that common for us today. But first century Jews grew up with sheep. All of them understood what sheep were, what shepherds were. Many of them were shepherds. In school, children in the first century would grow up learning that Father Abraham was a shepherd, and so was Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph for a time, and Moses, and David, and some of the prophets. And not only that, in the first century, sheep in Israel were sacrificed daily and annually by the thousands. They grew up knowing, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want or lack for any good thing, because God is the greatest shepherd of them all." Well, Jesus Christ in John 10, as many of you know, because this is such a familiar passage, Jesus Christ in John chapter 10 makes use of all the familiar imagery of sheep and shepherds and shepherding and thieves and robbers and strangers. He uses it in order to preach the gospel to the lost and to shepherd his sheep. And if you get what Jesus Christ says in this illustration, you will have good news truths that will stick with you for the rest of your life. That's why he uses the image. The truths of the gospel he preaches here should stick with you for the rest of your life. So to that end, I'm going to read John 10, 1 all the way to 21, but we're not going to get that far today. This is going to be a two-parter. But notice what Jesus says, and by the way, he says this right after the shepherds of Israel had cast out a little lamb. "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus used this illustration, "but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them." They understood sheep and shepherds and shepherding imagery, but they did not know what he was trying to teach. "Therefore," verse 7 begins, "therefore, Jesus said to them again, 'Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power or authority to lay it down, and I have power or authority to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Therefore, there was a division again among the Jews because of these sayings. And many of them said, He has a demon and is mad. Why do you listen to him? Others said, These are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Now, there's a lot here, so let me just give you a very simple outline, which we will follow this week and next. In verses 1 to 6, Jesus Christ gives an illustration. An illustration. He uses very familiar terms, and there are seven of them. Seven terms that make up this illustration of shepherding that is a way for Jesus Christ both to present the gospel to the lost and to shepherd those who are saved. So verses 1 to 6, simple illustration. In verses 7 all the way through 18, we have the interpretation. The seven elements of that illustration in verses 1 to 6 are interpreted. And the theology in these verses is deep. So verses 1 to 6, illustration. Verses 7 through 18, interpretation. What do you see in 19 to 21? Of course, you can see where I'm going with an eye there. Irritation. They're irritated by this. There's division amongst the Jews because of these sayings. They don't really understand them. Some are saying, he must have a demon. He's mad. Why do you keep listening to him? Others are saying, these are not the words of someone who has a demon. Illustration, interpretation, and irritation. Hopefully the end for you will not be irritation. Hopefully instead, you, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, hopefully by the time we're done, end of next week, you will find much good food for your soul that will stick with you forever. Because this illustration is meant to be memorable. It's meant to stick with you forever. The other night, Pastor Dan and Randy and Denise and I went on a little double date. We went to the Flying W Ranch. And as we're up there, Miss Randy is reciting John chapter 10 from memory. She did a great job. These are verses that are well to be memorized or close to memorized because they are teaching such great theology. So let's begin with this question. What exactly is Jesus Christ doing in this context? What's he doing? Christ is always doing something. Anytime you study the Bible, you might start with that question. What is he doing here? Well, on the one hand, Jesus Christ is evangelizing sinners. He's preaching the gospel yet again to Jews who had not yet believed. And just in that is a great example for us. I think by this point in time, Jesus Christ has been preaching the gospel for several years. He still has Jews who don't believe him. Their eyes are still closed. They're still blind. But he's not giving up. And I don't think we should either. I think we are far too quick to think that we are casting our pearls before swine. Jesus Christ is still preaching the gospel to Jews who have not yet believed. And he's going to continue doing that to his dying breath. May the same be true of us. That's one thing Jesus is doing here. He's evangelizing lost sinners. But on the other hand, he's shepherding his sheep. Think about who's here in this context. Nothing changes from chapter 9 to chapter 10. So you still have the Pharisees who had just cast out a little lamb, a man born blind who was then granted sight by Jesus Christ. The Pharisees are there, who don't understand the gospel and who are seeking to kill the good shepherd. You also have the man born blind, who's just been healed, but who has also been cast out by the shepherds of Israel. You also have the disciples of Jesus Christ. You have the neighbors of the blind man who had brought him to the Pharisees to see what they would say and see what would happen. So Jesus Christ here is shepherding his disciples. He's shepherding the man born blind who has just become a brand new believer. And he's preaching the gospel to the Pharisees and to the neighbors of the blind man. What is Jesus Christ doing here in this place this morning? The exact same thing. Could be you're here this morning and you don't know Christ. Jesus is going to preach the gospel to you by means of an illustration. But it could be you're here this morning and you know Jesus Christ and you need some good shepherding. You've got trials, you've got issues, you've got problems, you've got turmoil. The Good Shepherd is going to give you comfort and encouragement today. So to that end, let's look first at the illustration in verses 1 through 6. Now here in the illustration, Jesus Christ is using familiar terms in order to teach profound truths of the gospel. And there are seven of them, seven elements of his shepherding illustration. Now I'm going to give them to you probably in the order that's most logical. He's going to interpret them in a different order, okay? The first is the sheepfold, or the sheep pen, the corral that we saw a picture of. The second is the door, or the entrance into that sheepfold. The third element, the third term, I'm going to group these, thieves and robbers and strangers, right? Evil people who would try to enter and sometimes do enter into the sheepfold. That's third, thieves and robbers and strangers. Fourth, the doorkeeper, the one who opens the door to the shepherd. Fifth, the shepherd himself. Sixth, the sheep. And there's a seventh, which we'll get to. Now, I want you to understand something, because this is key when it comes to the seventh element. All of these elements, the sheepfold, the door, the thieves, robbers, strangers, the doorkeeper, the shepherd, the sheep, and the final one, in the illustration, they're literal and true. I mean, there were real shepherds and real sheep, and some say that when Jesus did this, they're probably out a little bit from the temple and they can see the sheep and the shepherds on the hillside. I wouldn't be surprised. And so Jesus is making use of something that's readily at hand in order to present the gospel to the lost and in order to shepherd the saved. So when we get into the interpretation, none of the things that were literal at the start are literal in the interpretation. Keep that in mind. The first one is the sheepfold. Verse 1, most assuredly I say to you, now notice something here. Verse 1 begins, most assuredly I say to you. What are his first words in verse 7? Most assuredly I say to you. In both cases, Jesus is speaking about something with authority, and in both cases, Jesus is speaking about something that is important. So let no one neglect it, and let no one reject it. Most assuredly, verse 1, I say to you, I is Jesus Christ, I say to you, first and foremost, was to the Pharisees and his disciples and the man born blind and the neighbors and so forth. But Jesus Christ is the risen Lamb of God. And this is the living Word of God. And he is speaking to you as well this morning. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. First term, sheepfold. The sheepfold was a walled-in pen or corral. In the city, this is interesting, in the city, there was somewhat of a community sheep pen. Shepherds would bring their sheep in, and there's like this large corral. You might think these days of a large public livestock area where you got your cows in there and other people have their cows in there. Well, the shepherd would bring his sheep in and other shepherds would come in. And so there was a doorkeeper who would let various shepherds in to take their sheep out. But once you went out to the hillsides, a shepherd would have a sort of a makeshift, a more temporary sheep pen that he would build for his sheep. The sheepfold was a place for the sheep, a place of safety, a place of security, a place of provision, a place of protection. So when we get into the interpretation, Jesus Christ is going to be talking about a place for the sheep, a place of security, a place of safety, a place of provision and protection, a place where Jesus Christ has for his sheep to be. That's the first element. It's also a place, by the way, of warmth. Place of warmth, questionable today, right? A place where the sheep would gather together and they would have each other to warm one another up or maybe to bang heads. I don't know. Sheep sometimes do that. Second element is the door into the sheepfold. Look at verse 1 and verse 2. Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door or the entrance, singular, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber, we'll come back to them. But he who enters by the door, by the entrance, is the shepherd of the sheep. They all knew what that was. There was one entrance into the sheepfold. Only one way in. One and only one way in. And no other right way in. Simple illustration. They all understood that. But what was he talking about? The door was the way to get into the sheepfold for the sheep. But thieves and robbers and strangers didn't use it. They somehow climbed up some other way, which leads to the third element of the illustration. Thieves and robbers in verse 1, and then strangers in verse 5, because all three are referring to the same thing. You think everyone who came into the sheepfold was good? You think everyone who comes into church is good, by the way? No. We don't have a sign out front that says all are welcome here, because that would be very not true. It's not true. Not everyone was welcome in the sheepfold either, because they understood, as we ought to understand, there are evil people in the world. Thieves. Kleptes, from which we get klepto. Who knows the word klepto? Short for kleptomaniac. Hopefully you weren't one of those. Hopefully you never... I actually had a roommate who seemed to have a little bit of that going on. There's a whole other story. I won't go there. Kleptomaniac is like this disorder where people just feel compelled to steal stuff. It's not a disorder. It's a sin. Where people steal stuff. Well, they had in those days people who were thieves. The thief was kind of the low-level guy. The one who's going to use deception and use cover of darkness to try and get up over the wall and steal sheep. What about robbers? Well, robbers were thieves who had graduated to violence. They might even do it in broad daylight. They also want to get into the sheepfold because sheep were money. You could fleece sheep. Huh. Yeah, like literally. You could fleece sheep. You could steal sheep. You could use sheep as a sacrifice and then you don't have to buy one. Or you could steal sheep and then sell them to others so that others would pay for them as a sacrifice. Sheep were money. Okay? I mean, you could, if we had a pawn shop back then, you could imagine sheep down at the pawn shop. They steal and then they're pawning them off to others. So you had thieves and robbers and strangers, these who would enter into the sheepfold, not by the door, but they would climb up some other way because they were there with evil motives. They were evil people. By the way, from what we've studied so far in the Gospel of John, you know, we're already in chapter 10. Is there any evidence that the scribes and the Pharisees and the Jewish religious leaders were fleecing the sheep? Oh, yeah. Remember that time Jesus cleansed the temple? All the money changers were there. They're selling stuff. Could you imagine if we elders announced that from now on we're going to sell prayer? Sounds funny, but you know what? When we lived in Russia, the priests sold prayer. Yeah. It was shocking. You would walk in and they would have place for money. And if you wanted the priest to pray for you, you put money in the box. No money in the box, no prayer. I mean, unbelievable. Still happens today. This is going to lead up to the Reformation because you all know about indulgences, right? So thieves and robbers, this is the third element, very familiar terms. By the way, Jesus had also said, don't make the house of my Father a den of thieves. And so, another question. Any evidence that someone was trying to stand in their way of fleecing the sheep? Yeah, who cleansed the temple? Who flipped the tables over? Who kicked them out? Yeah, the shepherd. Any evidence that they want to kill him? Yeah. So you see how this fits, right? You see how this fits the context. Fourth element of the illustration. The doorkeeper. Verse 1 says, he who doesn't enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs up some other way, the same as the thief and robber. Very clear and understandable. He who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens. What do you think? How much authority does the doorkeeper have? A lot or a little? A lot of authority. And in the city where there was a community sheep pen, the doorkeeper is like, you're coming in or you're not coming in. You're a shepherd or you're not a shepherd. So this says, to the shepherd, the doorkeeper opens the gate, opens the way, lets that shepherd, oh yeah, I recognize you, you come on in. You're welcome here because I know you got sheep in here. Somebody else comes and tries to disguise himself like he's one of the shepherds. The doorkeeper has authority and responsibility to make sure, no, you're not coming in here. You're not one of the shepherds. You got no place. You got no business here. Doorkeeper. Familiar term for those in the city, especially when there was a community sheep pen and somebody who had authority and responsibility to either allow or disallow entrance into the fold. Fifth, the shepherd. Shepherd was a familiar term. The shepherd, verse 2, he who enters the door is the shepherd of the sheep. He's the one to whom the doorkeeper opens, verse 3. And the sheep hear the voice of the shepherd. And the shepherd, verse 3, calls out his own sheep by name. And the shepherd leads the sheep out of that city sheepfold and out to green pastures and still waters so that they would be fed and cared for. Right? The shepherd had major responsibility. In verse 4, and when the shepherd brings out his own sheep, he goes before them. He leads the sheep. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. If he could go before them and behind them, then you could sing, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, because the shepherd would not only be leading you, but somehow following you at the same time. The shepherd leads the sheep out to green pastures. He would lead his sheep, feed his sheep, even lay down his life for his sheep, sleeping in the doorway so that over my dead body is anyone going to come after my sheep. So you got elements of the illustration. The sheepfold, the door, evil people, thieves, robbers, strangers, the doorkeeper. Fifth, the shepherd. Sixth, the sheep. What a familiar term to the Jews and the Pharisees and the religious leaders. Sheep would listen for the voice of their shepherd. That's an interesting thing. Sheep, generally speaking, were not considered to be super smart, but they had really good voice recognition. And I've heard that there have been tests done to see if somebody would dress up like a shepherd and go and try to lead sheep after him, and the sheep don't recognize the voice of that guy, and they don't follow. I've heard that's been like a proven thing. People have tried that out. Sheep would listen for the voice of their shepherd. They would follow him because they'd recognize his voice, like they have discernment. And notice what it says, verse 5, yet they will by no means follow a stranger. Now that is written in the Greek with oume, which in English is no way. Oume, no way. Like good sheep, smart sheep, real sheep, true sheep, they don't follow the voice of strangers. They're like, you're not my master. I've actually watched with interest at times as people try to give Misty Puppy. You know, we have a dog, Misty Puppy. If you're visiting with us, everyone else already knows, but now you know. We have a dog named Misty Puppy who's not a puppy. She's 6 years old. But we've watched with interest at times as people try to command her what to do. And Vic and Lisa have caught on because they've kept Misty a time or two. And so now, but Misty a lot of times just doesn't listen. It's like she doesn't, who are you to tell me to roll over and play dead? But if we tell her, she does it. She does pretty well on command. Well, sheep are even smarter than Misty Puppy. Like real sheep have discernment. And so Jesus is going to lead somewhere with that. So what's the seventh element? What's the seventh element that is literal and physical in the illustration? Not literal in the interpretation. It is the voice. Repeated time and time again. Verse 3, to him the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep, that's with his voice, by name. Verse 4, when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. So keep in mind that all seven elements are literal and physical in the illustration. They are non-literal, non-physical in the interpretation. Verse 6. Jesus used this illustration, this figure of speech, this word picture, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Now, what does that mean? It does not mean that they had no clue what a shepherd was or a doorway or a sheep pen or a thief. They understood all that wonderfully. But they knew that Jesus Christ was a rabbi. They knew that he was a teacher of serious things. And they did not know what he had in mind behind all of these figures. They probably wondered also, what brings this up? This talk of sheep and a shepherd and a sheepfold and thieves and robbers. But what had the Pharisees just done? They had just cast out a little lamb out of their fold, who had just brought to them a testimony about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So one thing that brings it up is their own bad behavior. But you know what else brings it up? All the prophecies of God against the false shepherds of Israel and the promises of God to provide for his people one true shepherd. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Jeremiah 23:1. Thus says the Lord God, behold, look, I am against the shepherds. Ezekiel 34:10. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep. I myself will cause them to lie down, declares the Lord God. And I will establish over them one shepherd, my servant David, who will feed them. He will feed them and he will be their shepherd. Ezekiel 34, verses 15 and 23. Jesus, on the one hand, is preaching the gospel to the lost. Jesus, on the other hand, is shepherding his own sheep. Jesus, on the other hand, is confronting the evil shepherds of Israel. And on the other hand, he is fulfilling the promises of God to provide for God's people one true shepherd. Which leads us to part two, the interpretation. And we're just going to get started, okay? The interpretation of the good shepherd. This is in verses 7 through 18. And here, Jesus, in his grace, he doesn't owe them anything. But notice verse 6 says, they did not understand. They is first and foremost the lost and blind Pharisees. Verse 7 says, therefore Jesus said to them again. That is grace, beloved. That is the grace and kindness and mercy of Jesus Christ. And so it is now. If there's anyone in this room who is not a believer in Jesus Christ, it is the grace of God to allow you to be here today and hear yet again the good news of Jesus Christ. God does not owe that to you. He doesn't owe you anything. And if you're here today and you don't know Christ, your sins have made you deserving of nothing from God except eternal judgment. And God, if he chose to do so today, if he chose to kill you and cast you out of his presence forever, he would be righteous in his judgment. But in his grace, he's going to explain to you the good news of Jesus Christ. It begins with number one, not in the same order I just gave them. Number one, the door. Who or what is the door? Verse 7. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. Most assuredly I say to you, in other words, this is important, let none neglect it. It's authoritative, let none reject it. There is one and only one way into the sheepfold of God, and that is through faith in Jesus Christ. There is no other way. Christ and Christ alone is the way to be saved. Jesus is preaching the great gospel truth of exclusivity, which so many people find offensive, and yet it's true. The one thing the Pharisees were unwilling to do was what? They were unwilling to come to Christ. John 5:40, and yet you are unwilling to come to me that you might have eternal life. I wonder if that's true of any of you this morning. Like, you're willing to come to church. Maybe you're willing to go to Bible study. Maybe you're willing to read your Bible. Maybe you're willing to do all kinds of things, but you will not humble yourself and come to Jesus Christ to be saved. There are people that are like that. They'll do a lot of things, but they will not humble themselves, confess their sins to God, and say, Lord Jesus, save me. Jesus is the only way you can ever be saved. And if you are someone who goes out and preaches the gospel, do not ever say that there is some other way for a sinner to be saved. That is a lie from the devil. One way and one way only into the sheepfold of God, and that is through faith in Jesus Christ. So what about you? Have you come to faith in Christ? Is he your Savior and your Lord? Do you submit to him? Do you follow him? Do you listen to him? Have you entered God's sheepfold through faith in Jesus Christ? Because there is no other way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, John 14:6. Peter said, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name given under heaven among men by which we must be saved, Acts 4:12. Paul said in 1 Timothy 2:5, there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Only one. The day is coming when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Better do that now in this life than in the life to come. Jesus is the door. Second, who are these thieves and robbers and strangers? False shepherds. False shepherds. Verse 8, all who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. Jesus actually reveals five things about the thieves and robbers. I'm just going to give them to you quickly. Number one, they came before Jesus was on the scene. Number two, they were still around. Notice what Jesus says. All who came before me are, present tense, thieves and robbers. Jesus, in this context, is talking about those who were on the scene before him, talking to his sheep, but they're still around, and now Jesus is talking to them. But they, number three, they're thieves. They steal sheep, they fleece sheep, they hurt sheep, and they want to hurt anyone who stands in the way. And just from those three, you can see who they are, can't you? I mean, it's the Pharisees and the scribes and the priests and the religious leaders of the day. They're the false shepherds. And they enter the sheepfold, but not through the door. They will not come to Christ. And number five, the sheep did not listen to them, a reference in this context to his disciples. Who are the thieves and robbers and strangers? In the context of the Jewish religious leaders who came before Jesus was on the scene, but were still around fleecing the sheep. But by way of application, are there today thieves and robbers and strangers? Are there false shepherds? Are there false teachers? Yes. We do not, in this church, think that everyone who comes into the church is welcome here. There are people who are coming in to pray upon you. P-R-E-Y, not pray over you, but P-R-E-Y, pray, like a vulture on you, to steal you, to lead you astray, maybe to prey upon your daughters. You do not want shepherds who are like, yeah, everyone's welcome here. You don't want that. You want shepherds who are a little more like, who are you? You're new. I mean, we're not to be mean, but we don't know you, right? We care about you. We want to find out who you are and where you came from, and do you know Christ, and do you know the gospel? But we're going to look at you a little bit like, hey, what brings you here? We're going to be friendly, but we want to know who you are and why you're here. And are you here to learn? Are you here to understand the gospel? Are you here to serve? And if you're here for some other motive, no bueno. Everybody knows Spanish. Not good. Third, and finally, close with this. Who are the sheep? Because we'll get to the good shepherd. There's so much to be said about the good shepherd. Who is the good shepherd? Just tell me. Jesus Christ. You already know. But who are the sheep? The sheep are those who enter the sheepfold through Christ. Jesus says, verse 9, I am the door. And here's the gospel, beloved. If anyone enters by me, number one, he will be saved. Number two, he will enter in. Number three, he will go out. We'll talk about that. And he will find pasture. This is the gospel in a nutshell, and it is beautiful. Verse 9 begins, I myself am the door. And then he says, if anyone enters by me, that's an invitation. If anyone would want to enter into the sheepfold of God through me, good news. He follows that invitation, if anyone would enter by me, four great gospel promises from God. Number one, he will be saved. That's gospel promise number one. He will be saved from thieves and robbers and strangers and false teachers and false voices and lies and the devil and death and hell. And he will be saved into life and life abundant. That is true. That is the good news of Jesus Christ. What must I do to be saved? Enter through Christ. Trust in Christ. Believe in Christ. Jesus says he will be saved, and number two, he's adding promise upon promise, and he will go in. That means you will enter into the sheepfold of God. You will enter into the place of safety and security, of protection and provision, where you are protected. You will enter into the place of blessing. And from the rest of Scripture, you know what? If you enter into God's sheepfold through faith in Jesus Christ, you will be blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Sound familiar? Memory verse. Just as God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons. Wow. That is incredible news. One way in, Jesus Christ. Who are the sheep? Those are those who enter in through Christ, and they're blessed with salvation, number one. They're blessed with eternal security, number two, because you enter in. And number three, you will go out. Well, out of God's sheepfold? Oh, no. No, no, no. That's not what he means. You don't go out of the flock. You don't go out of the sheepfold. What does this mean? Remember I said there's a city sheep pen and there's a country sheep pen? Well, guess what? Once you get saved, God draws you out of this world. You become a follower of Jesus Christ. And then Christ takes you out to wherever he has for you to serve. And he places you in a local sheep pen. Where you will be fed and watered and cared for and prayed over and not preyed upon. Catch that? Prayed over with an A, not prayed upon with an E. That's what happens. You'll go out. You'll go out with the shepherd and with other sheep to a place where you can enjoy, finally, what? Pasture. You will find pasture. You will find a place along with other sheep where you'll be fed and cared for and blessed. This is a promise of rest and refreshment and rejoicing for all who are sheep of Jesus Christ in the presence of the Good Shepherd. In the short term, that's the local church. And in the long term, it's the kingdom of heaven. Who is the Good Shepherd? Jesus Christ. Who's the doorkeeper? What about the voice? Stay tuned for next week. Well, by way of application, let me ask you, are you Christ's sheep? Are you one of his beloved sheep? Praise God. God did that. God did that. If you can say with all confidence, with all joy, yes, I am a sheep of Jesus Christ. He is my shepherd. I listen to him and I listen to no other. That's good news. And I'm not here so that you follow me. Please don't become a follower of John Snyder, egads. Become a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm here as an underling, as one to bring you the words of Jesus Christ and keep directing you to him so that you would follow Christ, because that's who I'm following. I'm not following me. I quit that 31 years ago. Praise God. If you're a sheep of Jesus Christ, rejoice and praise God and beware of false shepherds who seek to reach you through the TV and internet these days. And if you're today and you're not one of Christ's sheep, this is here that you might believe. And today is the day. Today is the day that God would desire for you to be saved. So please, don't leave. If you got questions, come and get answers. I'll stick around. Come and ask. Talk to Pastor Dan. Talk to me. Talk to pretty much almost any guy around you. I'll bet almost any guy around you. If you're here with the questions, I'll bet anybody can ask. And if you're a gal, reach out to one of the gals around you. This is a well-fed, well-trained flock who can answer your questions. So don't leave without getting your questions answered. And don't leave without Christ. Let's pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this illustration of the Good Shepherd. Thank you for this gospel, which is memorable and practical and powerful and profitable for all of us. We pray, Father, as we leave here, that you would keep us rejoicing in Christ, listening to his voice, and learning from him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.